Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. And Paul writes this to the church: "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that, according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." So we are beginning today, for the next few weeks, a new series. And the series is simply entitled More. And I'll explain what that means in a minute. If we could whack the PowerPoint up, Alison, that'd be great. And then I'll control it from here. But yeah, so before I continue and talk about what more means, I want to commend to you a book that looks either like the one on the left or the one on the right. If you're buying a new copy, it will look like the one on the right. But it's by a guy called Simon Ponsonby. He is one of the ministers in St. Aldate's Church in Oxford. And most of what I will talk about, certainly today, and as we move on through the series, is based upon a lot of his reflections and his teaching in that book. I very much recommend you buy the book and read it. Digest it. Read it slowly, because he puts a lot of content even on just one page. So even if you can only read like a page at a time to digest it, read it and begin to appropriate some of the things that we'll be talking about through the series, because it is all about how you can have more of the Spirit when we have everything in Christ. Because there's a common objection. People say, oh, you can't say have more of God. He's given us everything in Christ. Yes, but we do need more of the fillings of the Spirit. And we'll talk about that as we go. I want to just speak about the an experience that we had, or that I certainly had, when we were doing the Turning launch week at the end of June. And we had one of the encounter evenings here in this very building. And I remember we started to worship, and I don't know what happened, but joy just came on me. I was joyful. I was smiling. I was dancing around. Later on that evening, the presence of God became so tangible that everybody that was here, there must have been, I don't know, 25, 30 of us here, all of us, wherever we are, and up at the front, in the aisles, everywhere, we were on our faces in repentance before God. You had Fatima, bless her, you know, she's only little, she was right down here in the front, and she was confessing sins in front of us. You know, it was like the presence of God was tangible. It was an incredible experience. You left literally full of God, like Paul talks about in that letter, in that prayer for the Ephesians, the fullness of God. Now friends, I want to suggest to you that this is not just something that we do for the Turning. It's not just for people who go out on the streets. It's not just for people who are super spiritual. It's not just for people who really like to worship and like worship music and that kind of things. It's not just for people who think that, oh, well, that's for them, that's not for me. It's for all. Acts chapter 2. The Spirit came on all the believers. Nobody was left out. It was literally for everyone. That's what the Spirit is for. It's for the whole church. And I believe that God wants to fill us. Basically what Stephen said, he took my message. Well, he didn't take my message. I've got more to talk about in a minute. But he basically said, God wants to use us. He wants to fill us with more. And that's really great. But what is the more of God? and this is where I have to look at my notes, because Ponsonby describes it as this. Oh, yes, question mark. He says, it is a constantly repeatable, deepening experience of God's Spirit who brings a greater revelation of the person and work of Christ, a blazing love for Christ, a greater and more effective empowering witness to Christ, and a transforming conformity to Christ. In other words, when we have more of the Spirit, we look more like Jesus. Whenever we have more of the Spirit, we look more like Jesus. We behave like Jesus, we talk like Jesus, we bless people and love each other like Jesus. Now, other people have called this kind of thing by different names. If you talk to a Pentecostal person, they will say it's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I don't like that phrase. The Bible does use it, but we need to clarify what we mean when we use that phrase. And it's not the baptism in the Holy Spirit, because every time you read the Greek text of the New Testament, particularly in Acts, when it uses this phrase, baptism of the Holy Spirit, it actually uses the Spirit as it's the element of baptism, as in you are baptized in the Spirit, as in it's like the water of baptism is the Spirit of God. That's what you're baptized into. You're baptized into the body of Christ with the Holy Spirit. Basically. So you can't call it the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Pentecostals like to call it the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they think that you must have this experience, usually manifested by speaking in tongues, before you're saved. No. When you're baptized into Christ, and we'll talk about baptism maybe a little bit later, when you're baptized into Christ, you are in the body of Christ, you have the Spirit, end of. Ephesians 1 is very clear. We all have the Spirit when we're baptized. So I don't use the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is a phrase in the Bible, yes, but I don't call the more the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because we're baptized with the Holy Spirit. Other people call it a second blessing. That's okay, but it's a bit vague. If you're a Roman Catholic, there's an emphasis on the idea of being confirmed, and you get the Spirit when you're confirmed. I don't use that. I use just the filling of the Spirit, being filled with the fullness of God. If you want to use a biblical phrase, being filled with the fullness of God, as he says in chapter 3. And Paul talks about that in all through his letters, and we've looked through all those when we've done the letters in the past. And then again in Acts, if you read about Acts, there are 22 occasions where it talks about people being filled with the Spirit of God. God has so much to give us. We have so much in Christ, but the problem we have is we fail to make use of it. We just don't want to know. We don't want to use it. And so there are barriers. There are some barriers that we have that stop us from actually appropriating everything that God has for us in the Spirit. And so we're going to look at each one of those in turn. And the first one is this. Unexpectant heart. We have unexpectant hearts. And basically, if you listen to Simon Ponsonby talk about this, he says, partly it's because we don't know our Bibles. Now, if we were Anglicans and we didn't really read our Bibles, middle-of-the-road Anglicans, and we didn't read our Bibles in the week, and I'm trusting that we all read our Bibles in the week, so I'm making a huge assumption here. If you don't read your Bible in the week, I would encourage you right now to pick the Bible off the shelf or get an app on a phone and start reading it every day. But if we're not reading our Bibles, but basically what happens is we don't know the promises of God. Plain and simple. If we're not reading Scripture, if we're not digesting Scripture on a daily basis, either with or without notes, or whatever, just reading the promises of God, we don't know what the promises of God are. So how on earth can we expect to appropriate or make use of any of the gifts that God has for us? We need to be people of the Word. And one of the illustrations that he uses in the book when he talks about this is If any of you have ever watched the Lord of the Rings films or read Tolkien's Lord of the Rings books, he has lots of different types of characters in these books. And they're all based on real life type of people. And so you have these little people, they're halflings, they're called hobbits. You know about hobbits? Hobbits are the quintessential English. They like smoking pipeweed and beer. They are literally the quintessential there, and they like a good tilled earth. It's a proper, you know, little bit of England is what he's talking about. But the problem with the hobbits is they don't care about the rest of the world. And that's what's so remarkable about the story of the Lord of the Rings, because you've got two hobbits that end up saving the world. But hobbits don't care about the rest of the world. They don't want to know what goes beyond the borders. They don't care. They just want to stick to their own little shire, and that's the end of it. Christians are like hobbits when we stick to our own little gatherings and we don't do anything with what God has given us. You see, we need to be people who know the promises of God and not stick to our little shires, but actually appropriate those promises in the whole of our lives. And so as a result, if we're like hobbits, we're unexpected. We're not expecting anything to happen. We don't want God to come and change our lives. We don't want God to come and change our friends' lives. We don't want God to come and change the town's life. We don't even care about the church. As long as things are happy the way we like them, we're fine. Unexpected heart. Friends, it's a barrier to the more of what God is calling us into. It's a barrier. And the second thing is unconfessed sin. Unconfessed sin. You know, the world today doesn't like it when you talk about sin, because it suggests that there's something wrong with us. Well, newsflash, world, there is something wrong with us. We all sin. We all go against God's created, God's commanded order. He has set before us the way he wants things to be. He wanted a relationship with us, and our sin creates a massive barrier to God. An unconfessed sin. Now, I must stress upon the point that when we come to faith, we are clean. Like Jesus talks, if I take you back to John chapter 13, to the upper room, where Jesus takes a towel around his waist, and he gets down on his knees, and he gets a bowl of water, presumably, and he kneels at the feet of the disciples. This is the King of the universe kneeling at the feet of the disciples. And he washes their feet. Friends, that foot washing, he says to them, Peter says, he objects, and he says, "Oh, you can't wash my feet, Lord. I'm not doing it. You're not. And Jesus says, "But Peter, if I don't wash you, you don't have a part with me." And he says, "Oh, well, then wash my hands and my head as well. Give me a full bath." And he says, "I don't need to, because you're already clean." But what he's alluding to is that you've got these little bits of sin, that as you've walked along in the world, these little bits of sin have attached themselves to you, and you've let them become part of who you are a little bit. And all he needs to do is come along and wipe your feet clean and deal with that sin afresh. Unconfessed sin is a barrier. And the question for us is, what are the things, what is the thing that if people knew about you, you'd be ashamed? What are the things lurking, the concealed things in our lives? You know, there's a guy from South Africa called David Du Plessis, and he was called by the Pope Mr. Pentecost, and there's actually a book called Mr. Pentecost. And David Du Plessis, when he was a teenager, he took a day off school because he wanted to experience the more of the Holy Spirit. He was desperate. And so he spent all day in prayer, fasting, "Lord, more of your Spirit." Nothing happened. And I can tell you, I understand this, because the same thing happened to me when I went on retreat just before I came here 6 years ago, and I went to Lee Abbey seeking an anointing of the Spirit of God. And I remember spending a whole night in worship and nothing. I didn't feel the presence of God. I didn't know where he was. And David du Plessis had the same thing. You know, and this is the guy who's going to be called Mr. Pentecost by the Pope. So, come on. This is, you know. Anyway, he has a chat to somebody. I think it's his teacher. And says, oh, I heard you take the day off of school to go and seek more of God. And they mentioned something to him about sin. And he suddenly realizes, oh, I need to go and confess. He confesses his sin. And the Spirit of God rushes upon him in a mighty way, to the point where he becomes this mighty move. The Spirit uses him to bring renewal from South Africa and wherever else he went all over the place. Unconfessed sin is a barrier to the more of God. And then the third one is an unyielded heart. An unyielded heart. Have you ever been in a situation where you've been worshipping and you felt like, oh, I could just give my all to you, God. You've been so lost in wonder, love and praise. Yes, Lord, I'll just give you everything. And you think, yes, I'll go anywhere you want me to go, Lord. I'll do whatever you want me to do. And then, say that was on a Sunday. You come to Monday morning, and it's life as normal. You've forgotten everything about what you said to God the night before. And you really, really don't want to go anywhere God wants you to go at all. And you don't want to do anything that God wants you to do. That's an unyielded heart. That's an unyielded heart. Because what that does is it says, do you know what, God? I will do this if. It puts conditions on God. It says to God, do you know what, God? I'd like to be in control of my life. I'd like to do things that I'd like to do because I want to be in control. And I'll just pay homage to you every now and again on a Sunday. But actually, when it comes to the detail, I'll do that. I'll do what I want to do. That's an unyielded heart. We are never, as a church, as individuals as well, we will never experience the fullness of the more of God if we have an unyielded heart. Just not going to happen. If we want to be in control of what we want, if we want to say, well, we want this church to be like this, that's not right. It's not about what we want. It's about what God wants. It's about God. It's not about us. It's about what God is doing. And the best example of this is Jesus. Do you think Jesus genuinely wanted to become a human? Well, yes, he did, because he was God, and yes, he had that desire. But the human side of Jesus, when that took over, do you think Jesus was really enjoying being down in the muck and the dirt with the frail human flesh with no glory? Do you think that's genuinely, as a human, what he wanted? Probably not. And I guarantee you, there were times in Jesus' life when he felt like giving up and saying, oh, do you know what, Lord, I can't be doing with this. Great example of that is the Garden of Gethsemane on Maundy Thursday. His humanity came forward there where he realized this is such a big thing and I just wish I'd never signed up for it almost. Not that Jesus ever says that. But we get that way. We want to control our lives. We want to be in charge. We're not in charge. God is. It's an unyielded heart that wants to be in control. And when it comes to ministry here, it's not what I say, it's what God says. It's not what the minister wants to do. Oh, we better do it because the minister says. It's not about that. It's not about me. It's about God. It's about what he wants. An unyielded heart. And the next one. An unclaimed inheritance. An unclaimed inheritance. A light bulb went on for me when I read this. Do you, for those of you that were around 6 years ago when I was preaching with a view, which is not that many of us actually, it's quite interesting. For those of us that were around 6 years ago, you may remember when I came to preach with a view, I talked about inheritance. I talked about a vision that God gave me and talked about how God wants to bring us into our inheritance. Now, I've been doing some reading about Joshua. Joshua was the man anointed by God to take over from Moses and to lead the people of Israel into their inheritance.
Here's the thing. Joshua was faithful in leading the people. God was faithful to his promises. But Israel needed to claim the inheritance. Israel needed to claim. He doesn't talk about any of this in the book, by the way. This is generally me. Israel needed to claim their inheritance. The Spirit of God leads us into our inheritance to take all that God has for us. The Spirit is part of our inheritance in Christ. So my role as a Joshua, wherever I go, in whatever church I happen to be in, whatever situation, is to lead people into their inheritance, to get us to claim that inheritance in Christ.
Ponsonby says that the Spirit mediates our inheritance in Christ to us, takes us across the Jordan from east to west into the land of promise. We cannot claim the inheritance. Now, the inheritance is the people of Westbury. That is our inheritance. God has given us the land. The land is a metaphor for the people. We need the Spirit of God to lead us to the people to take hold of our inheritance. Can't do it without the Spirit. That is why, for example, with the turning, we have encounter evenings where we experience more of the Spirit of God, the presence of God, because you can't do it without the Spirit. A great example of this, and if we had the kids in, we could do this, is presence. Now, master present openers are children, are they not? They love to open presents. Even if it's not their own present, they like to open it because it's wrapped and it's shiny and they want to open it. Now, if I were to give you a present and you said, oh, that's lovely, and then you just kept it, and then you went home and you put it, you know, in private place on your mantelpiece, but never opened the gift, how's that going to make me feel? And more importantly than how it makes me feel, as the person who gives the gift, what good is the gift to you if it's sat there wrapped in its box? You have to open it. To claim our inheritance, we've got to open it. We've got to crack it open and get into it. We've got to claim our inheritance by physically doing something. But an unclaimed inheritance is a barrier. Saying, do you know what, Lord? That's a nice gift you want to give me, but I don't want to do it. I don't want to open that gift. Unclaimed inheritance and unwanted gifts are barriers to the more of God. And the final one that I want to pinpoint, because there are a couple more that Ponsonby talks about in the book. But the final one is the unbelief because of unworthiness. Unbelief because of unworthiness. This, forget about all the other ones that I've talked about this morning, this one is perhaps the greatest obstacle to receiving the more of God. Because you see God blessing other people. You see God doing amazing things in other people's lives, and you say, that's amazing, I think that's great. But God will never give that to me. And it's either because we've got some, it's usually because we've got an issue with rejection. We just don't think God is going to give that to us because we're not worthy. We're only worthy of being rejected, and therefore we will never put ourselves in a position to receive the more of God. It's a huge obstacle to experiencing the fullness of God. And I'll give you an example from my own life. For years, talk about an unwanted gift and not opening it. I've told this story before and I'll keep telling it because it's so important. I went to this revival meeting in Dudley a number of years back. It must have been 2009, 2008. And the guy at the front had a prophetic word of knowledge, whatever you want to call it, and he said, 25, I've got the number 25. If you're 25 years old, you need to come up here right now, God wants to bless you. And the bloke next to me, who I did not know from Adam, says to me, oh, you look 25, you should go up. I said, no, not doing it.
Then he said, he kind of pushed it a bit, and he said, oh, I still think you should go up. He said, no, I don't think it's right. And then the woman next to him said, oh yeah, you look 25, you should go up. So not once, but twice, two people said you should go up, and I was actually 25 at the time. Did I go up? No. What is one of my biggest regrets in life? Not going up. Why didn't I go up? Because I did not feel that I was worthy enough to receive the gift that God had for me. I didn't feel I was worthy enough. I had too much of a fear of rejection that I was going to go up and nothing was going to happen. So what? That's not important. It is a lie of the enemy that tells us we're unworthy, because it is not about the recipient of the gift. It is not about the recipient of the gift. It is about the faithfulness of the giver. It is about the faithfulness of the giver. It is about the fact that God is faithful and wants to bless you. No matter what you feel, no matter how difficult your life has been, no matter what problems and difficulties you're facing, God wants to bless you. He wants to fill you with His Spirit. But if we're too hung up on our unworthiness or our fear of rejection, we ain't never going to get anything. It's not about us. It's about His generosity. And a great biblical example of that is in Luke chapter 11, verses 9 to 13. And these are famous words. And Jesus says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives. And everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? How much more? It's not about you. It's not about what you feel. It's about God, His faithfulness, and His generosity. It's a barrier to the more of God. Unbelief because of unworthiness. So there you have it. A whole bunch of barriers, probably about five in all. Where in your life, where in our life as a church, where in my life, am I living with an unexpected heart? Thinking, do you know what, God, you're just not going to do anything. Where in our lives do we need to confess some sin that needs to be washed off? Where do we need to yield our heart more, to surrender everything to God and say, do you know what, I'm not in control, I'm going to take my hands off this now, Lord. Where do we need to take action and physically claim the inheritance that God has for us? Where in our lives do we struggle because we feel unworthy, as though we've done something that makes us unworthy? Friends, that is a lie of the enemy. And all we need to do is renounce it and say, actually, do you know what, that has no hold on me anymore. Where do we need to deal with our fear of rejection? There is time this morning. There is space here to come and to physically do something about one or more of these barriers. I suggest, if the Lord's been tugging on your heartstrings and you've got a couple of these, work through one at a time, because they're quite big things. Edit that out. But just do one at a time. Don't try and do all of them at once. But at least come this morning. Come to the front. Acknowledge before God. And nobody's going to think any less of you. If anything, I'm going to think more of you. That you've been willing to admit, yeah, God, these are barriers in my life. I need to deal with them. Nobody's going to think any less of you And shame on us if we do think there's any less of each other. It's not about that. It's about what God's doing in our hearts, what he wants to change in us, how he wants to bless us, how he wants to give us the more, that filling, that desire, that conformity to Christ, that love of Christ. And as we go through the series, we'll talk more about the power that he wants to give us, the love he wants to give us, and maybe even more of the expectancy as well. So we're gonna come together back into sun worship. There is space, come forward. Either sit at the front, with a lot of space to sit at the front, or come and kneel at the front. And I will come and pray with you. If there is something that you feel God has been talking to you about, and you think, do you know what, I really need to deal with this, then come forward and be blessed of God.